From Spartan Stadium to Ford Field, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the game, 7:30 a.m.
The views and positions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the game 7:30 a.m. Some may find the content of this program controversial or offensive.
Time to play the game.
And they'll be ready. Put on your big boy pants and buckle up. This isn't a safe space for weak takes or whining. You can say that this sports radio show is offensive-minded. Call the show at 517-300-4263. Text or call us through the game 7:30 a.m. app. Message the game 7:30 a.m. on Facebook.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Beanie's back.
Tell a friend.
Here's your host and professional hellraiser, Beanie Howell.
Welcome in. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie, and this is Lansing's only sports station, the game 7:30 a.m. So glad to have you with us as we get started on another week here. And before I get rolling, I got to set the table with a couple of things. One, Monday, so tradition, by tradition, as is tradition on this program, we do studs and duds, right? And we will. But today, the prize is a little bit different because all week I'll be giving you a chance here to win tickets to see, a pair of tickets to see Impractical Jokers of True TV fame live in concert, if you want to call it that, at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. All right, cool. The show is coming up on Friday, October 27th. A 7 p.m. show there at Soaring Eagle in Mount Pleasant. Here's how you get in for a chance to win a pair of those tickets today. It'll be anyone who participates in the show, whether it's studs and duds or otherwise, just calling, emailing, messaging in, and here are all the ways. Phone line, 517-300-4263. You can always email the show, beanie@wvfnam.com. Use Facebook, send us a message or comment there. Just search Facebook for the Game 7:30 a.m. to do that. Or use the free Game 7:30 a.m. app. Click chat in the main menu, and that sends over a free text to us. Okay? So if you send over a stud and dud nomination or any kind of hot take or whatever, comment on anything we're talking about here today on the show, that will count as an entry into a drawing we'll conduct randomly at the end of today's show. One of you walks away with a pair of tickets to see True TV's Impractical Jokers, a live show at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant on Friday, October 27th. And if you don't win today, don't worry. We'll have a chance every day this week for you to win those, okay? So stay tuned. If you don't make it today, it's okay. There will be more opportunities. All right. I think that sets the table well enough, and we can get rolling here. Dr. J is here. How are you today? How was your weekend? Hang on. I think I need to pot you up. My bad. Let's start again. Uh-oh. Sorry.
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I've been better.
And that's same. That game was rough.
Yes. And that's, of course, where we're going to start today. You know, I don't think I'm going to say anything too groundbreaking here. But like virtually anyone else who watched that, of course, I was apoplectic afterward. But I am a little surprised, Dr. J, at how upset I was about what happened. Because, you know, I went into this, I expected them to get chased out of Kinnick. Maybe that's why. Because, well, shame on me. It's, you know, it's really my own fault, right? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's probably why I was so upset. I expected them to get run out of there. I didn't expect them to have a lead at all, let alone for most of the game or whatever seemed like most of the game. But, you know, they go in there the first drive. Iowa gets the ball and is just carving them up. More of the same. And I'm thinking, okay, yep, that's all I need to see. They're making Iowa's offense look competent, maybe even kind of good. And then Iowa has to settle for a field goal. And I thought, well, that's just Iowa being Iowa. But anyway, you know how it goes. And Michigan State's hanging around. And they can actually move the ball. That was very surprising. Although, you know, I spent most of the Whitelaw PLLC tailgate show on Saturday trying to find something productive to say about this game from the Michigan State perspective leading up to it. And what I came up with was, look, I think State's going to lose in big fashion, but this is not the traditional elite Iowa defense. All the stats so far this season, actually, coming into that game, Iowa was on par for its worst defense in about 23 seasons. Not a bad defense by any stretch, but it's just not the corn curtain, or whatever you want to call it, that it has been of late. It is not the same defense, and that's not a put down, but when you lose multiple first round draft picks to the NFL, it tends to have a negative effect on your defense. And Tim spent the whole show saying, well, so you keep telling me Iowa's no good and you're picking them to win. Classic Tim doing a straw man argument, because I never once intimated State would be in the game, let alone win it. I'm just saying, if you needed a spark of hope as a reason to watch that game, it would have been that Iowa's defense is not the typical shutdown corn curtain. And I think we saw that, didn't we? I mean, State moved the ball on them, at least between the two 10-yard lines. They moved the ball pretty efficiently for good chunks of that game. And Nathan Carter had an excellent day on the ground by any standard against any Iowa defense. 20 carries, 108 yards. You know, he averaged 5.5 yards per carry. That's hard to do against Iowa. This offensive line showed some life. If you had told me, coming into that, if you had told me Saturday at 6:30 or at 7 o'clock at night, Michigan State was going to, well, Nathan Carter was going to run for 108 yards on anything less than 50 carries, I would have said, wow, they might have a chance. If you had told me Iowa was going to give Michigan State the ball twice, I would have said, hang on, we might be cooking here. And if you had also told me on top of all that, Michigan State would attempt and make a 58-yard field goal, the longest ever in the long history of Kinnick Stadium, and possess the ball for almost 34 minutes, I would say, holy bleep, they're going to win this game. And that's what makes it so disappointing. Because for the second straight week, Michigan State statistically owned an opponent and lost by multiple scores. They did pretty much the same thing last week to Maryland, a little bit different recipe, but essentially won every statistical category except for the most important one. And then they went and did that again in Iowa. And the reason being, over the last two games, Michigan State has turned the ball over nine times. Nine times. And more unforgivably, your starting quarterback, who has somehow not lost his job, which ought to really concern you, not at the competency of the staff, because we know they're all frauds and they will all be terminated here with the guy who hired them pretty shortly, as soon as this season concludes. But the fact that the guys behind Noah Kim can't beat him out, that's the concerning part to me. Because the numbers are simply atrocious. Since Michigan State started playing Power 5 teams, or put another way, teams with pulses, he has a combined one touchdown and six interceptions across three games. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but what I'm setting up is there has to be a change, if only for the sake of making a change and for the sake of there at least being some semblance of accountability when it comes to performing, not just poorly, but historically awfully, that should lose you your job. But anyway, you know, Dr. J, you know, we all, our whole group watched this game together Saturday night after the tailgate show.
Yes.
And do you think it's fair of me to say that I was unusually upset at the conclusion of that game?
Yes, you absolutely were.
Can you put that into words for the listeners and do a little theater of the mind?
Yes. So you continued to pace for about 30 minutes after the game ended and were yelling a lot of words that I'm not allowed to say on the radio. And the volume at which you yelled those words was louder than you normally would talk in. So lots of screaming, lots of pacing, and it went on for quite a while after the game ended.
Yep. That's all fair. I threw my phone a couple of times, not at anything delicate. I made sure it hit a couch.
No, you threw it on the ground, actually. You know that you threw it on the ground, picked it up, and then threw it on the ground one more time.
Well, I guess you would know better than me because I was at least 12 Sam Adams Oktoberfest deep. And maybe that's part of why I was so upset. I don't know. I'm not an angry drunk. I never have been.
No.
I think that actually kind of dulled my senses a little bit. And it would have been worse if I were completely there. But I digress. The point is, I noticed I was unusually upset. Mm-hmm. Because, look, this is a lost season. We all know that. They're starting over. We all know that. Yeah. And I didn't think they had a chance to win this game. But that's part of what happened. They went in there and did stuff I haven't seen them do, frankly, against teams with 11 pulses on the field at one time. They moved the ball. They were able to push the other team's defensive line a little bit and create some creases and effectively control the line of scrimmage for, well, frankly, stretches of the game that I haven't seen them do against Power 5 competition in the last couple of years. So I guess what I'm saying is I stupidly, and maybe Sam Adams Oktoberfest had something to do with this, I stupidly started to believe they were going to steal a win. Because at the end of the day, you can't lose sight of how awful they are, but also, it's football. Bad teams beat teams not as bad as them all the time. It happens all the time. College, pro, whatever. It happens a lot. And I thought, wow, we're going to be that mistake. We're going to be that for Iowa tonight. This is nice to be on the other end of for a while.
I tried to tell you not to get your hopes up, but it just wouldn't work.
It wasn't about hopes. It was about...
Yeah. It was about expectations is what you said to me.
Yes. And here was the expectation. Once Cade McNamara went down and that, I don't know what you would call him, basically a guy who looked like a big toe came in to play quarterback for the rest of the game. Once he was in, and let's be real, Iowa's not exactly efficient offensively to begin with. Cade McNamara is on the sideline with blown out his other leg to match the one from last year, apparently. I don't know what the injury, who cares? The point is, they put in this just classically bad Iowa quarterback, and that's saying something. And I'm thinking, oh, dude, State gets a lead. All they got to do is nurse it, and they win. All they have to do is not give Iowa the ball back. That's all they have to do. I guess I expected too much.
Yeah.
And that's, after some reflection, I realized on Sunday why this all upset me so much. And it's not because I got carried away and thought, oh, cool, they're going to steal a win. That's not why. That's happened before, and I haven't gotten to this level of upset before. It's not because Michigan State is sticking with a quarterback who doesn't belong even in the MAC. It's not because there are people running this program who are career frauds. The reason it all upset me, and I realize now after 48 hours of, almost 48 hours of reflection, in introspection, is it took me back to a very dark place that I haven't been to since 2006. Because that reminded me of this.
Coach, obviously, a miscalculation there, and you're upset. Tell me about it.
Yeah, very upset. We should have been in a ball game with fast field goal. The coach had sent him in. We shouldn't send him in. That's a dang coaching mistake. That the kids are playing their tail off and the coaches are screwing it up. Smile.
That was John L. Same old Spartans. That's why that was so upsetting. And look, State's had some bad seasons since then, and they've had some particularly awful moments since then. But they hadn't revived that sad act and routine until Saturday night. Now, it was a little bit different. The John L. formula involved excellent offense with no defense to be spoken of, and then bizarre, complete evaporations of game plans in the most critical moments and deviating from what got you to a favorable position for seemingly no reason at all. It wasn't one-to-one. It was a little bit reversed. The defense was pretty good, and the offense was pretty awful. But the result was the same. That's why that pissed me off so bad. For something that's been gone for the most part for at least 15 years. And now it's back. But at least, you know, the more I think about it, the more I realize it might be even worse now. Because at least when that was going on, they could score points. They had guys at the quarterback position who, not very good, most of them, still belonged on a Power 5 football field. They could make the throws down the field. This guy is not cut out for this. He is not a Big Ten quarterback. He's not a Big Ten backup quarterback. I don't think he's even a MAC backup quarterback, if only because of the size. He can't make the throws. He can't make the decisions. And at some point, it's not his fault anymore. Because the people in charge, being paid at least several hundred thousands of dollars, are deciding to trot him back out there time and time again. And worse than that, are allowing him to run some sort of bizarro option sometimes. We want him running the ball. And I think, I think State wanted to start a different quarterback on Saturday night. But I think their humanity got in the way. And what I mean by that is, as bad as Noah Kim has been, it would be borderline illegal and certainly immoral to put a freshman, redshirt or otherwise, in that position to make their first start at night at Kinnick Stadium. That is cruel and unusual punishment. You can't do it. Especially if you wanted any shot at winning. And that's before we knew Iowa was going to help them out the way they did. But I think State was prepared to make the change in the game. And here's when it was going to happen. They come out of halftime. They drive down, driving down the field. And he throws another god-awful interception. And I think that was it. I don't know who they were going to go to, whether it was Hauser or Leavitt. But the other guy was going to come in. Until Cal Halliday picked up that fumble and rumbled back for a touchdown. And that changed everything. Because then Michigan State had a lead again, and the thought is, let's just carefully nurse this with the guy who's more comfortable because he's at least been on the field for a few hundred snaps. I think State was about to change quarterbacks, but then decided it couldn't because of the situation in the game. And that was the game. When you play small, when you play without the courage of your convictions, especially on the road, even against a team with one arm, maybe both arms tied behind its back, you are asking to lose. And that is same old Spartans. The moment was there on the silver platter. Iowa was giving you the game, trying so hard to give you a game you probably had no business sniffing, let alone taking. And you just couldn't do it. You couldn't oblige. Your coaches came up small. Your players came up small. Same old Spartans. That's what that was. And that's why that was so infuriating. Just need a minute to keep my blood pressure in a somewhat habitable range.
Oh, no, we don't need any more yelling.
Man. I mean, the thing is, if you listen to the show, you know this season has been over for me for a while. Not that I had particularly high expectations before the coach's blunder came out and all of this happened. But damn, man. It's just, it's right back to square one. It's unbelievable. And again, it doesn't really matter. Like, this was going to be a lost season anyway. Coming into that, I thought the high watermark would be maybe winning five games this year. But then, you know, it looked like, oh, they could steal this one. Maybe they could get a postseason out of this. I don't know if that even matters. Does it matter to get the extra practices when half the team's going to be gone? I don't know. But I do know this. It's not good for any of us to have to watch any more of this than we absolutely have to. And that's the productive part I wanted to get to, if you want to call it that. And this is a serious question. It's not a radio bit. I'm not trying to manufacture content. I am genuinely asking everyone in green out there, what's the secret? How are you able to do this for seven more weekends this fall? Because there are seven games left, and they ain't getting easier. I just don't know, man. I don't know how we can keep doing this. My excuse is I have to for work. But how do you keep watching this? I don't know. And I'm not even talking about showing up. The Michigan game is, it's going to be embarrassing, not just because of the final result. I'm sure that will be perfectly soul-crushing. But the fact that it's going to be like at least a night game, I guess it could get moved, it could be flexed, but for now it's a night game, right? A nationally broadcast night game, and it's going to look like Ann Arbor in the stands. It's going to be humiliating. And then when we get around to the Nebraska game, I don't know, will 10,000 people show up? Yeah, maybe. All in red. I don't know, man. I don't know how we do this. I don't know what there is to pay attention to. It's god-awful. Maybe the carrot for the next game, because, you know, and here's a silver lining. Here's proof there is a God. They're on bye this week. So we get a couple of weeks away from this to detox. And then they come back and they go to Rutgers, which I'm sure is just going to pick right up where it left off. But maybe the only carrot there is there'll be a different starting quarterback. I don't know. Is that enough to get you to want to watch again? Or to get you to suffer through it? To just bite down and bear it? I don't know. I don't know how we're supposed to get through the rest of this. Because it is going to be painful. And if we're real with ourselves, and you look at the rest of the schedule, it's apparent, isn't it? It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. A lot. A lot worse. Because,
yeah. Do you want to know how I do it?
Yeah.
I find the humor in how bad they are. So you know how some movies are so bad that they're funny?
Yeah, but I walk out during those.
Oh, no, I don't. I watch. So I'll watch and start laughing at how bad we are. So just find humor in the horribleness that you see on the field.
I feel like I'm already past that. Like I've already expended that ability.
Oh, no.
And look, the worst part of that is this league is trash. This league is garbage. There's I'm not even sure, like, the team that I think is head and shoulders above everyone else is that good. But the point is, how many, like, special teams are there? I don't mean, like, the unit. How many of the teams in the Big Ten are capable of doing something great this year? I don't even know if it's one. Maybe it's two. I don't know. But the point is, this league is awful. And I'm looking at the rest of the schedule, and there are some pretty awful teams on it, and I don't think State can beat them. State just lost the equivalent of an arm wrestling contest to someone who doesn't have arms. And you mean to tell me that they're going to go on the road to Rutgers and or on the road to Minnesota and or on the road to Indiana and win those games? How? I just don't see it. And even if they could, why should I care about that? So? I don't know. It's going to be hard to watch. Now, I will, out of professional duty and obligation. But I just wonder for you, the average Joe out there, you don't have to watch it. And you sure as bleep don't have to show up. So why would you? And it's worse than it's just a lost season. It's the people in charge right now who, again, make no mistake, will, to a man, be gone here in a couple of months. Thank God. But they are so in over their heads. Some of the decisions on Saturday night, my God. Like, for all the goodwill Jay Johnson started to curry by calling a halfway decent game that implied to me maybe he has some functioning synapses between his ears, completely undone with the fourth down call. Hey, let's run that unstoppable Philadelphia Eagles play with a checks notes 5'9 quarterback who maybe weighs 100 pounds in a soaking wet parka. I don't know. I don't see hope anywhere. I just don't. And I know I referenced Office Space a week or so ago, but I've found myself, you know, after that game, while I was just stewing in rage, I found myself identifying with another line from Office Space.
You know, there are people in this world that don't have to put up with all this shit.
That's me right now. I would like to be one of those people who don't have to put up with this bleep. Maybe someday. And there are corners of the MSU universe trying to be productive. There is a movement, I don't know if you've seen it, on MSU Twitter today. I was talking with Town Square Media's national production director, Steve Jared Goff, downstairs before the show today during show prep, Dr. J, and because I had forgotten, what do you call it? The school of thought that thinking positively and speaking positively like helps manifest it.
Yes.
He said it's part of the law.
Visualization.
But he said it's part of the law of attraction, I guess, when you speak something into existence. Okay. Whatever it's called, whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you got to speak something into existence. You got to like say it in order to be able to believe it and then do it, right?
Yeah, put out the energy that you want coming back to you.
Yeah, manifest what you want. Visualize it and make it happen. Make it a reality. That's what a big chunk of MSU Twitter is doing today. Because many of them are tweeting, wow, I can't believe it. There's mutual interest between Michigan State and Urban Meyer. Hey, if that's what you got to do to get through it, I understand. But it's not real. And every time I open Twitter today and refresh my little Twitter feed, I'm seeing more and more tweets from MSU Twitter about this. And to make another pop cultural reference, I feel like Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia whenever I see another one.
Shut up! Oh my God, I don't care!
Just where I am. It's a pretty dejecting feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the question. I put it up on our social feed. You can find it. Just search for The Game, 7:30 a.m. on Facebook. But to read it verbatim, we put it up there. Michigan State fans, how are you surviving Spartan football for 7 more fall weekends? How? Are you just giving it up? I find that highly unlikely. I don't have this sound queued up, but to make another pop cultural reference to a, I guess, somewhat controversial film from 15 or 20 years ago, I'm talking about Brokeback Mountain. And as one of the Cowboys said to the other, this is basically this fan base talking to Michigan State football. I wish I could quit you. But we can't, can we? We haven't quit yet. I guess if we were going to. Is Iowa the breaking point? I doubt it. I doubt it. Because at least that was somewhat entertaining. Was there a single entertaining moment in Washington or Maryland? Not really.
No.
But maybe this is what makes Iowa worse, is because it got you amped up again as you're thinking, oh, maybe. I don't know, man. I'm trying to do radio and make this productive, but I'm also, like, being serious when I say the topic here. How do you survive 7 more of these? Here are all the ways to weigh in. And remember, everyone who participates with that or studs or duds or anything in the show today will earn themselves an entry into a random drawing we'll conduct at the end of today's show. One of you walks away with a pair of tickets to see True TV's Impractical Jokers, a live show at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant. That show is on Friday, October 27th, 7 p.m. Here are all the ways. 517-300-4263. Phone line. Email us, beanie@wvfnam.com. You can use Facebook. Search Facebook for The Game 730 AM to post a comment or send us a message. Or you can use the free Game 730 AM app. If you don't already have it, just search the Apple App Store or Google Play for The Game 730 AM. Click chat in the main menu. Once you've downloaded it, sends over a free text to us. Okay? We're here till 6. And I'm being selfish because I'm literally asking for, I don't know, what would it be, like anxiety exercises you can do to get through this, or whatever you got to offer for how we're supposed to make it through 7 more of these. Let me know. And also, you know, studs and duds as well. And are you with me? Did Saturday feel a little too reminiscent of this? Sorry, the sound's not playing. Well, you know what you got to do when things don't work out?
Smile!
It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m.
There's only one station in Lansing that you've depended on for sports for over 30 years. Some call us by our government-given name of WVFN East Lansing. You can call us by the name the people of Lansing know us by, and that name is The Game, 7:30 a.m. Start your weekday morning with the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout. Middays with Mike Greenberg. Offensive Minded with Beanie Howell. And The Huge Show with Bill Simonson. We're a force to be reckoned with. We're Lansing's only sports station. The Game, 7:30 a.m.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Got a hot take?
Pick up the phone and start dialing.
Offensive Minded phone lines are open. 517-300-4263.
All right, we're back. Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m. Look, I'm just putting it to you bluntly. How are you surviving 7 more fall weekends of this team and this clown car disaster of a poverty program we have at Michigan State right now? How? And maybe you're not in a position to address it right now because you're just taking the bye week to kind of as a mental health break. See, that's, you know, Dr. J is the resident agnostic on the show, but I'm telling you, sometimes you don't have to look too far for evidence of God. The fact that we've sat through for the last 3 weeks, and especially how it culminated on Saturday night, and then we just serendipitously get 2 weeks off the bye week here, I'm telling you, he works in mysterious ways, there's no doubt. But anyway, how are you surviving 7 more fall weekends of Michigan State football? I am looking for some ideas, for some exercises, maybe some prescription recommendations, whatever it is, that's the topic. And also, did you find yourself like more attached and then seem by extension more upset after what happened Saturday night than you expected going in? Because I did, and that led me to remembering what it felt like in the same old Spartans era, specifically the John L. Smith era. And I'm asking you, do you see that too? And friendly reminder, everyone who participates in that topic or studs and duds or anything with the show today will be entered into a random drawing we'll hold at the end of the show. One of you walks away with a pair of tickets to see True TV's Impractical Jokers, a live show at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant on Friday, October 27th, 7 p.m. So here are all those ways to get in. Phone line 517-342-63. Email the show, beanie@wvfnam.com. Use Facebook. Search Facebook for The Game 730 AM. Send us a message or comment there. Or use the free Game 730 AM app. Just click chat in the main menu. Sends over a free text to us. So let me go there now to the free Game 730 AM app, where Nick and DeWitt says, stud, Christian McCaffrey, 4 touchdowns. Dud, Chicago Bears blowing a 21-7 lead, 28-7 lead, really, to the Denver Broncos. He says, let's go, Mer, Q, and Sal. Love the Impractical Joker show on True TV. Okay, Nick, well, you're in the drawing. Thanks for playing. Now let me go to the phone line. 517-342-63. Gary in East Lansing, is that right?
Yes, sir. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm all right, Gary. How about you?
Good. I heard your question. I know you're a busy man, and you pay attention to all the sports. And just focusing on MSU right now, football. And you said the next 7 weekends, how do you survive it? I've got a few years on you, Beanie. I probably could be old enough to be your grandpa. And at the end of the day, I survive it based on experience. It's experience as a Spartan fan my entire life.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in the late 70s, Duffy Doherty, I was there, you know, a younger version of myself, and I witnessed the decline of the mighty national championship, 65-66 teams. Duffy went out a loser. Unfortunately, you know, the recruiting dried up. Denny Stoltz came in. Had one good season, a couple of so-so seasons, probation. He's gone. Daryl Rogers comes in, a couple of so-so seasons, pretty good season. So how you survive all this, Beanie, is you got to have hope for the future. So right now my focus in the next 7 weeks is finding out who wants to be here as far as the players, whether we've seen some of them play or not, and finding out the next coaching staff, if we're going to do a better job of developing some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel for the kids. I mean, Muddy Waters came in right after Dale Rogers, and that was 3 years of losing. And then George Perlis came in, you know, same thing. Then he finally took off, and we had a couple winning seasons, but he kind of went out on a sour note. I mean, you can go through the history of MSU football, and it's a roller coaster ride.
It is. Do you think we've hit rock bottom yet this year, though?
No.
Me neither.
We have not hit rock bottom. That will be in probably when Michigan comes into town. And I don't know if he's, you know, as Mad Dog used to say, you know, he's sharpening his teeth and all this stuff. But if he comes in and he has the, you know, I'm going to put one on MSU, that could be a real ugly game to sit through.
Yeah, but at least we know they're like a title contender. I could see rock bottom being like losing at home to a absolutely atrocious Nebraska team. That's distinctly possible.
Well, what I saw Saturday, the same thing you did, and I had my hopes sky high in the fourth quarter. I wanted to see them win, of course, not for my sake, but for their sake, for the kids that go out there and the coaches that put the time in, who are well paid, by the way, as you and me know. And you know, looking to the future, and you know, you've talked about coach speculation, you know, who's out there, who's not out there, you know, the fans wanting this or that, you know, the commitment's going to be financial and then making the right decision. And if they make the same financial commitment they just made to Mel Tucker and they do their due diligence, I would hope they could assemble a pretty good staff and a pretty good head coach. But
me too.
We'll see. Time will tell.
Okay, thanks, Gary. I think that's a good thought, and I'm with you. Appreciate the call, and you're in the drawing too. I don't know, and Dr. J, obviously he's right. He's speaking a lot of sense. Clearly, he's saying the only way to get through it is to look ahead. And even though he agrees with me, we haven't bottomed out just yet this year. We are near the bottom, so it will mostly be only up from here. Right? I get that.
Right.
And at least we get to hit the reset button. Maybe this is the silver lining. I don't think the result Saturday would have been different without the scandal with Tucker that went down here over the last month. If he was still head coach and everything was seemingly all fine and dandy behind the scenes, I think we're in the same spot, but even worse because we feel like, damn, we're locked into 8 more years of this and or $80 million more of this. So at least we get to start over, I guess. Is that the way to look at it?
I think that's a good thought. Yeah, we just would have been trapped with more of this, and now we at least have a shot.
Yeah, it's just I don't have a ton of hope that they're going to get it right. But I guess, I don't know, what's the right way to look at it? Dr. J, tell me, what odds do you put it at that Michigan State, whomever they go with here, the next guy, is not as big of a disaster as Tucker? What are the odds?
I would give it a solid 50%, which is better than the 0% chance we would have if we still had Tucker.
Yeah, I got to believe the next guy just won't have this kind of spectacular self-destruction. So there's that.
Right.
And I got to believe the next guy will be a better in-game coach and will, I mean, the next guy almost has to, by default, have better coordinators, right? Because does it get any worse than these guys? And by the way, to that end, one guy who has been getting off scot-free here is Ross Ells, the special teams coordinator. That guy has gotten no heat because of how bad the other two are, and frankly, how bad the offensive line coach is, who makes more than Ross Ells, the special teams coordinator. But do you see? I mean, you could see that plain and clear on Saturday. I get it that the punter's new and young. But, dude, you got to go into that situation and tell him, hey, listen, I know you just had a shank punt that went for like 15 yards and you're wanting to make up for it. But please do not go out there and just kick it as far as you can, because it's going to be a line drive. You're going to outkick your coverage, and then they're going to be set up in the worst case scenario with excellent field position for their immobilized offense. And what did he do? He came out there and just kicked one as far as he could that outdid his coverage by at least, you know, what? At least 15 yards. And then when the guys did get in position to go after the guy, there's no lane integrity whatsoever. You know, these guys are just, they're not paying attention to any zone on the field. They're just incredibly poorly coached. It wasn't like they missed a ton of tackles on that opportunity. They eventually did, but it's the guys weren't even in position. And that's on coaches, man. Anyway, here are some comments here from Facebook. Let me read some of the comments on the topic here on Facebook. Again, the question is, how do you plan on surviving 7 more of these, Michigan State fans? On Facebook, Steve writes, piece of cake. I won't watch them. All right. Well, hey, I can't disagree with the overall logic there. It's just I kind of have to. It wouldn't be right of me to come on here and talk about this if I'm not watching it. Although there are some people in this business who do that. Steve writes, not watching, period. I can't even put myself through that madness. It will ruin my weekend with the ineptitude going on every Saturday. My family doesn't deserve that. State needs to start completely over. Ron says he'll get through it by believing this is the week we turn it around and go undefeated the rest of the season. Go green. Well, Ron, I don't know if you are just tragically naive or if you are abusing some substance, but more power to you. Daniel writes, I won't watch another second of this dumpster fire. Barnett may be a nice guy, but he's no head coach. Kim needs to grab a clipboard. He's just not cutting it. 2 touchdowns in 3 games for the offense doesn't cut it either. 100% right. Shammy writes, I've lived long enough to have seen worse days as a Spartan. I bleed green and will forever support the program, win or lose. Go green. Randy says, as long as Noah Kim remains the starter, I'm just divorcing myself from them. As long as Barnett is going to allow one player to tank the season, it's not worth caring. it is inexcusable now. There's no excuse not to change quarterbacks. I suspect they will at Rutgers. I think they wanted to this game, but they couldn't find it in their hearts to put Hauser or Leavitt in that position because it's on the road at Iowa at night. But as we see, you know, that it's not the typical Iowa defense we've become accustomed to. Jeremy says, I'll be fine. Dave says, I wish them well. And Sean says, by not watching and praying the administration doesn't completely screw up the next hire. All right. 517-300-4263. Out to the phone line. Caller, who are you and where are you calling from?
What's up, Big B? How you doing, big fella? It's Bill Simonson. I saw you at Johnny Brand's last week, but you and your lady friend were on your way out while I was on my way in, so I didn't get to buy you a Miller Lite. But anyway, Beanie.
No, keep going. I like this. I like when Huge calls my show during his own airtime. This is great.
Well, you were on your way out as I was on my way in, and I think that was by design. Right, Big B?
Yeah, that's about right. Just like how things are working in the old, the hearts and minds of the Lansing radio audience. But anyway, continue.
Yes, so here's a couple, I don't mean to sound Pollyanna, but a few quick reasons why we can be optimistic despite this disaster of a season. Okay, first of all, we got a great place kicker. The punter looks to be really good. He only had one bad punt. Equi, I think his name is.
Well, two. He had two, though. By the way, this is Joaquin's beard talking, so let me get that out there for people. Two. And, he had the shank, and then he grossly overkicked coverage on the one that came back for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's true. But he's not as good as the one we just that got drafted into the NFL, but he's pretty good. But
he's got potential for sure. Yeah, he's just inexperienced. I'm with you.
Right. And so what's his name?
The kicker, Jonathan Kim.
Malik, I keep getting the names mixed up. Malik Carr, Malik Hall. Yeah. It's Malik Hall, right? The tight end.
Malik Carr is
really
the
good,
tight end.
They've got some other pretty good receivers, but their quarterback is not getting the ball to them. And I think what's going to happen is that Hauser is going to get in there. He's acquitted himself pretty well except for that one bad pick. And I think we're going to see that he is infinitely better after he gets a couple games under his belt, and he'll study the ship a little bit. But still, I think we're looking at probably 5-7 or possibly 4-8. But depending on how many people leave the team, there is hope for the future, I think. But still, you know, you'd think with the starting QB going down and them having a dud back up, and then I think the Iowa receivers dropped 6 passes in the game that we could have won, but 10 penalties, 3 picks, and a fumble. So my last point before I get off the line, how am I going to deal with it? I'm going to do what I did with the Lions for many years. Just don't watch the games, or just watch 5 or 10 minutes of it, and that's it, because it's just too freaking aggravating.
I understand completely. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Let me keep powering through one more call before I get out. Caller, who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Ray in Holt.
Hey, Ray, what's going on?
Hey, I was just going to mention to you that I have no sympathy for you, because I was coming back from Tennessee on Saturday. We had been down to Gatlinburg and had a good time, and we were came through, of course, Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, and we were listening to Tigers win 8-0 on XM Radio, and then I told my wife to turn it over to MSU, and we got MSU on XM Radio, and I was getting this false hope that they might come around and win this game, and I had two granddaughters with me, so we got to my son's house here in Lansing with about 5 minutes to go in the game before they made the punt or whatever else, and he said, come on in, watch the end of the game, we're watching it. I'm like, yeah, maybe they can win this thing. Well, you know, after the punt and everything else, I knew the thing was over then.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking for 3 or 4 weeks that they should have changed quarterbacks. I just do not like this guy. Seems like 3 or 4 weeks ago he was throwing bad passes, missing receivers that were wide open. And I just, if they got anything on the bench, and that one kid, Hauser, whoever it was, came in one game and led him to a TD, I thought that, you know, he might have something there and be able to help us out. But, you know, beyond that, I just don't know. I mean,
me neither.
Michigan State been sad on it. The Tigers were sad, but we listened to them to the end just to hear them win 8-0 on Saturday. And, you know, hopefully they can come back and do something. But right now, you know, you say, well, how can you watch the games? Well, because I watched the Lions for whatever years.
Yeah. No, I get it. You got to have that hope springs eternal attitude. So thanks, Ray. Yeah. Thanks for the call, and you're in the drawing. I appreciate it. I get it. I understand. I'm not hating on you for it. That's part of, you know, loving your school or team or whatever. I get that. But, man, you guys are stronger than me, because if I didn't have to do this to be able to come on here and bitch about it with you, I don't know that I'd be watching. I would love to just quit. I'll tell you that right now. Dr. J, I would love to just quit this team. I would love to. I don't know
that
anything
easier,
I don't think anything would make me happier right now than being able to just call it a season for Michigan State football. I would love to, but, and I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. Oh, your job is so terrible. You have to watch 3 hours of football every week. No, I get that. And there are people out there who bust their ass at far more laborious jobs than me. I get that. I'm not looking for sympathy. I am looking, though, for actionable insights on how to make it less miserable. And by the way, they're going to change quarterbacks eventually. I think it'll be next game, and I don't know if it'll be Hauser or Leavitt. I'm guessing Hauser, since Leavitt still has a red shirt to use. But I wouldn't bank on that fixing everything, guys, because there's a lot wrong, not just the quarterback. Kim has been exceptionally awful, yes. And do they win Saturday night with just, like, normally bad quarterback play instead of Noah Kim-level bad? Probably. They probably do. But there's no guarantee a redshirt freshman is going to get in, or true freshman is going to get in and make any better decisions. However, they both have bodies that look more like a Power 5 quarterback, though. So that might be enough right there. It's just, remember, I know we think the staff is incompetent, and I know we know that, actually. But neither of these guys could beat out Noah Kim in the summer. That's why I've pretty much already seen enough of Caden Hauser. It's like, all right, well, he's probably going to transfer anyway, because the guy who recruited him is gone, and I don't think that's a loss. Maybe you think he got something in Sam Leavitt? I don't know. But I also doubt he sticks around, because he's a true freshman that they got out of the, I think he's out of the state of Washington. He had been committed to Washington State, decommitted and chose MSU. Well, have you seen what Washington State's been doing? In fact, their coach, Jake Dickert, is in a lot of people's short lists for MSU. So I don't know. Maybe that would keep Jake Leavitt. I don't know. Does it matter? No, it doesn't. None of it does. That's all I'm getting by. I'm going Nietzsche on this. Nothing matters. Nihilism. 2023. It's offensive-minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m.
Seal off drafts, dust, and more.
East Lansing, a Town Square media station. We're the station you've turned to for sports for over 30 years.
The game, 7:30 a.m.
The game, 7:30 a.m. studio is powered by Driven Collision. We make friends by accident.
And we're back. It's Offensive Minded with me, Beanie, here on Lansing's only sports station. The game's 7:30 a.m. So glad to have you with us as we get started on another week here. Welcome to October. Yes, very bad news. We are only 1 month through this college football season. There's still basically 2 full months of this left. And that's the topic du jour. After a second straight game where Michigan State's players outperformed the players on the other team, the coaches did their best to ensure Michigan State lost again. And look, you don't probably have no expectations left at this point, but I'm asking you, what's your strategy for making it through 7 more weekends of this? Thank God you get a reprieve this week, so you can kind of like empty out your misery tank, only for it to promptly refill probably as soon as we come back. Loss at Rutgers, that'll be special. That'll be nice. Can't wait for that. But anyway, the point is, how are you going to get through Are you going to get through? Are you already done? Have you pulled the ripcord? Are you done watching? A lot of you have already said that today. And you can do studs and duds as well. And frankly, you can weigh in on my takeaway. You know, I found myself super pissed off. I didn't think I had that much invested in this anymore. But then the longer the game transpired and the more times Iowa just tried so hard to give this game away on Saturday, that made it so much worse when State wouldn't oblige and, in fact, went full-blown same old Spartans. It just reminded me of this so much.
Coach, obviously, a miscalculation there, and you're upset. Tell me about it.
Yeah, very upset. We should have been in a ball game with fast field goal. The coach had sent him in. We shouldn't have sent him in. That's a damn coaching mistake. That the kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
A wise man once said the only way to get through something like this, simple, one word.
Smile!
God. This might actually be worse than that. Anyway, your thoughts on that, studs and duds, all of that. And everyone who participates today gets into a random drawing we conduct at the end of the show. Someone walks away with a pair of tickets to see True TV's Impractical Jokers live at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant on Friday, October 27th. All right? Cool. Out to the phones. 517-300-4263. Is this Tim?
This is.
Whoa. Tim, yeah, I'm getting like a demonic sound out of your phone.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead. What you got?
The game on Saturday was just absolutely, yeah, Noah Kim isn't the answer. And God bless him. He seems like a nice enough kid, but they gotta go to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
My issue was the fourth and one, the tush push with 180-pound quarterback.
Yeah.
When you're inside your territory with a game on the line, your defense is playing well. I keep looking at stuff like that going, I don't know how much of this is the players, because there's some athletes there. Zion Young on the edge is a stud. Cal Holiday gets things done. I mean, but how much of this is coaching? The staff that got left over is just garbage, and I love Arlen Barnett. He's a great guy. I've met him several times, but is not even a candidate and really
right
at this point, ride it out with him, and that's fine. But he needs to go back to coaching DBs.
Well, he doesn't even do that well, frankly. So he just needs to go away.
He was the DB coach with Darquez Darnard and the Jim Thorpe winner and Trey Wayans, who was a first-round pick. So, obviously, the dude knows what he's doing at least a little bit.
Well, he's also been the DB coach for the three straight god-awful defenses of the Tucker era and a fourth one now, too. So, I just, look, when Mark D'Antonio's not here with his guiding wing to take care of him, the guy clearly has nothing on his resume without D'Antonio. He just doesn't.
Yeah, I was expecting better things out of Florida State. But one of the things I wanted to touch on is you made a really good point Friday about the next coach hire, about who you go to and what you pay them. And I don't know what the legalities are with the NCAA, but get an up-and-comer, save some cash, and shove it into NIL so you can start paying studs to get here. That's the only way MSU's going to get players, is by shoveling out the kind of money that the USC's in Oregon does.
Yeah, I wonder if the formula has changed, you know, like the coach prime, I guess you would call it formula now, or whatever. I don't know. Is it more important to like bring in a guy who just runs the program like a football CEO, kind of like what Tucker was trying to do? Or do you still want a coach him up kind of guy? I don't know. I don't know if one is better than the other. I think we're in a bold new era, right, where we're trying to figure that out. But I don't know. The last guy, despite being, you know, a disgrace and disaster hire, actually increased the talent profile here and had a couple of top 25 recruiting classes. It's just he couldn't develop them for a bleep, apparently. Right. So I don't know. I'm honestly open to, I guess, trying either way. I know the fan base on Twitter is trying to make Urban Meyer happen, and I just don't think it's even close to a reality.
Well, and one of the sort of secrets of the D'Antonio era was D'Antonio was a great CEO and a pretty good X's and O guy with the talent that he had, but he had guys on his staff who recruited. He wasn't necessarily the best recruiter, but he found people who could fill that role. So you don't necessarily have to have one or the other at the top. You just have to find the staff in there who can potentially work with name, image, and likeness. Guys who are really good at that, that's what their role is. And then you get a CEO game planner as your head coach that could potentially work. Or I think Dion, you know, Coach Prime out in Colorado, guys are going there because they know they're going to be on TV. And they know they're going to get name, image, and likeness money. And if they stay there, that becomes what USC was back in the Reggie Bush days when they got paid and shouldn't have. But that's, you know, the glitz and glamour of T.O. on the sidelines and and what have you. So how much cash do you put into that? I think that's probably where college football, for my money, that's where college football's going. And like it or hate it, that's where it's going, at least in my mind. Because Caleb Williams, who's going to be a first pick, is talking about sitting in college for another year.
Sure.
And he's going to bank $3 million next year if he doesn't like the team that's going to draft him.
Yeah, well, and also it might make more financial sense, too. Because, like, Arch Manning, who is redshirting and won't play at all for Texas this year, is making $4.2 million through NIL. And that's more, that's more than, like, the actual contractual base money Jalen Hurts, you know, a quarterback who played in the Super Bowl last year, was getting before his extension kicked in. So you're right. It's a bold new era, man. And thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Tim. I don't know. I suppose either way could work. I mean, would you rather invest like the $9 million to the next guy to get a higher profile, higher profile candidate? Or would you rather go like the 6-7 route and keep $2 or $3 million to enhance NIL? I suppose either could work if you do it right on both accounts. I'm not sure there's a right or wrong answer right now. We're trying to figure that out. Whatever works will get copied, though, for sure. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I do know this, though. There's this sort of football sabermetric called net success rate. You can look up, and I'm not going to bore you with how it's calculated or any of that. But basically, it's predictive of, like, the odds that you're going to win a game based on, like, how well you've played. The last two games, Maryland and Iowa, Michigan State has had a better net success rate than their opponent and lost both. What does that tell you? Hint, hint, it might have something to do with the people pacing the sidelines, not performing as well as the players on the field are. And not that the players on the field are doing a bang-up job, but hey, they've done a good enough job, statistically at least, to win the last couple of weeks. Not getting the same performance out of the coaches. And if you needed any more evidence that it wasn't just Mel Tucker who was a gigantic fraud, that it was these guys, there you have it. 517-300-4263. Dan in Delta Township, what's up, man?
Hey, Brandon, how you doing today?
I'm all right. What you got?
I'm going to have to forego any chance in that drawing. I'm not going to be able to, wouldn't be able to use those tickets.
Okay.
And then, but I just had some thoughts. It's amazing, and I'm kind of, you're implying it as well, you know, how much emotionally invested we were in that, watching that game on Saturday night.
Know.
You know, how much better, how much more optimistic, even if it was if it would be naive of me, that a 3-2 Michigan State team right now would be versus the 2-3 that we are.
it's a huge difference, isn't it? It really is. And I mean, I think really most of us didn't expect them to win that game, but you know, a lot of things happened in the game that, you know, expectations change on the fly. They're dynamic. And
And I did have a kind of a question or an observation. You know, I didn't have a problem with them going it for it on the 4th-and-1. Obviously, hindsight's 20/20. But correct me if I'm wrong, the down before that was 3rd-and-15. Our running back kind of, it was kind of a throwaway play. And originally, they gave us the first down on that running back run, and then they overturned it by replay, correct?
Yes, and it was the right call. He was like half a yard short, it looked like.
That's good for you to say that, because they kind of showed the replay fast, and I was not convinced that he did not get the first down on that. But if you say it was, then that's what it was.
I guess. That's what I remember, at least. Now, to be fair, my eyesight isn't great, and then you throw on a few beers, and it's really not great. But I remember seeing it, and you know, just basing it off that yellow line, it looked like he was a foot at least short, but then again, that's not official. Who knows? I don't get hung up on that. I get more hung up on the play call. Yeah, you can't run the Jalen Hurts special with a 5'8", 165-pound quarterback. You just can't do it.
Yeah, yep.
All right, yeah, man.
But then, okay, take care. Have a good evening.
You too. Appreciate it, man. And like, look, someone shared this on Twitter. I can't remember who or else I would give them, you know, the due credit, but there were two really good demonstrations of the mismatch of the coaching staffs here. And I don't think Kirk Ferentz is anything special. And his son surely ain't. And is the ultimate Nepo baby. But Michigan State made sure to bail his ass out. Anyway, you look at the difference in approaches here on fourth and short. Fourth and short for Michigan State, they line up to do the Jalen Hurts Philadelphia Eagles sneak play, and Iowa had at least like six defensive linemen bunched up in there, just helmet over helmet lined up for each guy for Michigan State, right? And then look, when Iowa had a fourth and short, what Michigan State came out in? They came out in like a traditional 4-3 look. Coaching malpractice. Again, it's a lost season, sure. But we'd still like to win games, especially where the other team is giving them to us. You can't do it. Can't do that kind of crap. Can't let a punter go out there and outkick his coverage. Can't do that crap. Can't let a quarterback, in a game where points are at an extreme premium, throw an interception in the end zone and cost you 3 points. Can't do it. Coaching malpractice. 517-342-63. Caller, you on the air. Who is it?
This is Frank from Ransom.
Hi, Frank. How you been?
Good.
Go ahead. I can barely hear you. Turn your radio down, but go ahead.
Okay, I turned it down.
You're good. Go ahead.
Colorado's my favorite team now, man. Spartans let me down.
Did your hoodie come in the mail yet?
Yeah. I got it Saturday.
All right, good. Good. Now, they yes, came up short, but that was a fun game to watch against USC.
Yeah, USC was sweating nuts, man. They should have beat them.
They should have. You're right. That they USC has no defense, do they? None.
No, they had one of you guys that's on the radio was trying to get behind one of Prime's daughters, and I saw him, and half the NBA was there. You know, I mean, they bring cheer and joy. And happiness of the game. The stadium was packed.
Mm-hmm.
Stadium was packed. I wanted to go, but the tickets are like $4.50. They ain't counting the airfare.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got to eat while you're there, you know? So that's like a $1,200 trip. I ain't got it like that.
Yeah, it's expensive. And it's wild if you compare it to what it was just a year ago when the stadium was empty.
Yeah. Oh, man, he brought – I heard that his appearance there – he brought in like $90 million to the economy.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, they love him there. The people there love what he's doing. And a lot of the coaches like what he's doing, so no. And it's the funniest thing I heard, though, I heard one of these little kids say that they had never seen a black guy. And this is 2000, what year is this?
23.
He had never seen a black guy. I thought I was going to die when I heard that.
Wait, now who said that?
Some little kid said he had never seen a black guy.
Where was at the game?
Yeah.
Oh, my
never
God.
Never seen a black guy. I'm saying, like, man, where you been?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how that happens.
I don't either. I work with a guy, and I'm going to let you go. I work with a guy that's worked at GM, like, to retirement, right? And he asked me the other day, he said, hey, Frank, I said, yeah. He said, where's that other colored fella?
Oh.
Most of you.
Good Lord.
I thought I was going down. He didn't mean any harm, you know.
Some people, they just don't know any better, unfortunately.
Yeah, he just don't know any better. I don't think he had any kids or anything, you know. But he needs to get with the times, man. He needs to get with the times. But I think Colorado's doing good. I think they're going to get a bowl game.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. I mean, not every game they're going to play Oregon and USC. It's going to slow down for them. They get Arizona State and Stanford here for a couple in a row. Yeah, they'll probably get the 6 or 7 wins, I think.
Yeah, yeah, they'll get a bowl game. Then there'll be a million people there. He's bringing them money for the school. They haven't even given him a paycheck yet, I don't think. Well,
yeah, you know, that's a good point. I'm interested to see what bowl game they go to because, you know, the bowl games – you know, usually pick the better teams based on record, but I bet you they're gonna pick Colorado over a team with a better record if they can because of the eyeballs and money it represents.
That's what they're looking for, the money, man. Yep. It'll cost a lot of money to get teams there, and while you're there, you want to have fun, but you also got to, you know, you got to have some rebate that money and get that back to the university. You got to pay all them bills.
It's expensive. Yeah. Know. All right, man.
Hey, one more thing before
go
I
ahead.
Go,
yeah, go ahead.
Stop dogging the Spartans so much. Give them a break, man.
I can't, dude. I can't do it. I can't. It's my job.
Give them a break.
I can't come on here. I'd be doing a disservice to you and everyone else. I got to do it.
Give him a small break. Hey, that guy that comes on after you, he's a Spartan hater.
Well, yeah, he is. I went to school there. I'm just calling it like I see it. He hates him. Yeah, he's got, well, you know.
He hates Michigan. Maybe he couldn't get admitted there, you know, something like that.
I think it has more to do with Mark D'Antonio would never go on his show, and the guy goes to sleep in, like, a U of M race car bed for, like, a 12-year-old, something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't. When he comes on, I have to turn the channel, man.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you, Frank. Yeah. And thanks for the call. I got to leave it there, Frank, but it's good to hear from you. I don't blame you. And I know I'm not supposed to say that because I work here. And I, you know, we want you to listen to our station. We want you to support our sponsors. And I do. But I don't blame you for not listening to that. And a lot of people have come up to me at the tailgate show and otherwise and said, man, why is he still on your airwaves? I was like, look, you're asking the wrong guy. I'm not management here. But I will tell you this. If you're looking for some actionable or practical ways to voice your displeasure with the program on these airwaves, 6 to 9 p.m., that's tape delayed and broadcast out of the auto parts bumper to bumper value studio or whatever it is out west, I'll just tell you what I would say about anyone else, about me, about anyone in this line of work. If you want to make a point, contact the sponsors. It's a business first and foremost. Back after this, Offensive Minded, I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Sure, you could listen to static. Or you could get the free Game 7:30 a.m. mobile app in your app store today and listen longer without the interruptions from the static. Listen live to all your favorite moments in sports and hear all the action. The Game 7:30 a.m. app also has tons of great restaurant deals for you. It's waiting for you right now in the app store today. The Game 7:30 a.m. app is powered by Driven Collision. We make friends by accident.
Not afraid to be wrong, but he's typically right.
Beanie Howell on The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Recently, I spent time with a group of young people who were hearing impaired and deaf. This is Johnny Erickson Tata, and I'd like to pass on some tips on how you can reach out to people who are deaf. First, talk directly to the deaf person and not to the sign language interpreter. Second, if the deaf person speaks and you don't understand, don't pretend that you know what he said. Instead, ask him to repeat his statement or write it down. Third, be careful not to cover your face. Many deaf friends rely partially on lip reading in order to understand what you're saying. Also, don't talk too fast. Be patient, even if it takes a while to converse. And lastly, don't yell. Sometimes people even yell at those of us in wheelchairs, and that can be embarrassing. But most importantly, don't back away. Don't be shy. These are just some deaf etiquette tips for you, and there's more at disabilitycampaign.org.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story. One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home. I got a cab to go home. All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react. The cabbie barely had time to react. The cab swerved. I can't believe it. I hit a guy. The cabbie just missed a guy. I wish I took a cab. Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden you trouble head speaking, understanding?
Understanding trouble? Have you sudden have or speaking someone ever confusion?
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
All right, we're back. Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m. Continuing on with the topic du jour. I mean, you guys, this is what you want to talk about, and I understand it's the biggest thing around here is always Michigan State, and we're in football season, and so the topic is, how are you planning on surviving seven more weekends of this? You get a reprieve this weekend, thank God. So basically a little like 2 week break from MSU football. But what's your plan? Because there's seven more games, and I don't know if we've hit the bottom yet. Go out to the phone line, 517-300-4263. Kenny and DeWitt, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? I got something to say. It's right on the topic that your guys are talking about is Noah Kim. I mean, the last three games, I'm going, we need a change. Mm-hmm. Need a change. And it's the only thing that's going to work, probably. And on top of that, I don't know about your opinion, I think we have somewhat of a running game.
Well, that kid is the Nathan. Yeah, Nathan Carter's clearly a good player. What shocked me most of all, more than how Michigan State blew that game, despite Iowa doing its best to give it to State, was that State's line actually moved Iowa's line off the line a little bit. And they did. I'm happy, I guess, but my bigger reaction is, where the hell has that been for, the last two seasons?
Yeah. And, you know, you put a different quarterback in there that can hit somebody in stride once in a while, keep the defense guessing, and maybe we can run the ball a little bit.
Yeah, totally agree. I don't know if you heard me earlier, I have a bit of a conspiracy theory that when they got the ball to start the second half and Kim threw another pick, I think he was done. And I think they were going to bring in Hauser or Levitt, I don't know who, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, but I think they were going to make...
That's what I was hoping for.
Yep. Yeah, I think they were going to make a change just because they couldn't keep shooting themselves in the foot like that. But then Halliday got the fumble recovery for a touchdown and State has the lead again. And I think they're thinking, okay, let's just be safe with it, and we'll stay with the guy who has more game experience because he's less likely to blow it for us. And obviously it bit him in the ass. But also, I would caution anyone thinking that bringing someone else in will change much, because remember, none of those guys could beat Kim out in the summer, which is really discouraging to me.
Yeah, that's scary. I got one thing to add, too. 58-yard field goal, was that a school record or was that an Iowa Stadium record?
It was a Kinnick Stadium. Yep, Kinnick Stadium record, which is still impressive because that's an old-ass stadium.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, yep, 58 yards. I'm looking the bright side being a Sparty fan. That's what I'm doing. That's how I'm going to get through the 7 weeks is just, you know, look for the positives, hang in there and watch them like I always do. And if I get too sick, I'll just turn it to a different channel.
All right. Well, I'll try that too. Thanks, Kenny. I appreciate it. You're in the drawing. I'll go next to, is this Blake in Bath?
Yes, sir. How you doing, man?
I'm good, Blake. How about you? What you got for us?
Well, I was going to ask all this Colorado hype. Would you now if they were 1-3, like they very well easily could be, and they hadn't beat TCU to start the season off, you think the hype would be there just because it's him?
No, I think if they lose, if they lose that first game, then that changes everything, right? That would have drastically changed things. And you're right. The Colorado State game was close too, and they probably shouldn't have won that. But Colorado State's coach turtled and gave it to them. If they start 0-1, that probably takes a lot of air out of the balloon to begin with. But they didn't. You know, they went on the road and beat a ranked team, which TCU is not very good, but still it counts. And off we go to the hype race, right?
Right. It's just getting a little bit insane because I mean they're super. They're a whisker from being 1-3. And they don't look very good when they play these very, you know, these better teams. I mean, they made a comeback Saturday, but they still lost and they were getting trounced, you know. Their defense is horrible. I just figured it was a whole celebrity thing more so than the quality of the team, because I think they're pretty average at the end of the day. I think he's a good quarterback, but I think the team is pretty average.
I just,
if you ask me,
I'm closer to you than I am to someone who's like all aboard the hype, the prime train or whatever you want to call it. But they're going to win 7 games probably. I mean, they're not going to play Oregon and USC the rest of the way. They've got Arizona State, Stanford. Now they have to go to UCLA. That's tough. They got to play Oregon State. They're really good, but they also have Arizona. I mean, that's probably 3 right there that'll get them to 6, and maybe they can steal one against one of these good teams like UCLA, Oregon State, Washington State, or Utah. But their schedule's tough. But look, he's already accomplished the main job, which was to make Colorado relevant again, right? And he did it basically in the first week.
Yeah, and nobody really knew how good TCU was going to be because, I mean, what'd they lose, 13 starters
yes.
or something?
Virtually everyone we knew, yeah.
Yeah, and they could have pretty easily lost that game also. And again, TCU is not the TCU last year. They're a completely different team this year.
No, but you know what, Blake? I'm
buying all the hype, man.
Well, I'm with you. I'm with you that like I don't think that it's nearly as what is being portrayed. But look, this was a poverty program. They went 1-11, and in his very first game, they went on the road to a playoff team. I know they had lost virtually everything, and a ranked opponent, and they won. And they're 3-2 so far. That's, you know, the upgrade is massive. It just absolutely is. And how much of it is real, I think we'll find out because they have a tough schedule.
Well, I think the more and more celebrities are going to start showing up just because it's becoming like the thing to do. Support him, but. All right, dude. I appreciate you, man. Love your show.
Well, thanks, Blake. I appreciate that.
Yep. We'll see you, Beanie.
All right. Bye-bye. Dr. J, let me ask you something before I go back to the calls. Caller, hang on 1 second. Blake brought something up that got me thinking. What is the more in vogue thing for celebrities right now? Colorado football or Kansas City Chiefs football? Hold on. Let me pipe you back
up. Has overtaken Colorado.
Say that again. The Chiefs have overtaken Colorado. Okay.
Yes.
Well, yeah, probably. And plus the Chiefs are really good. Like, defending Super Bowl champion good. And Taylor Swift. Like, wait, what do we got to do to get Taylor Swift to a Colorado game?
Ooh, Coach Prime could give her a call. Do you think she'd go?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm beginning. Look, is this all a publicity stunt? Like, I know that's everyone's knee-jerk reaction when something like this happens, but I don't know. Like, last night, it's all the big to-do about it because she's there. By the way, she's there in the box, and they show her, like, in the box. They show her coming in through security, the metal detector, and it's all like, Taylor is here. And meanwhile, just Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman walking right behind her, getting no publicity. Like, that's how big of a deal she is. She outshines those two, like, A-list actors. Unbelievable. But, I don't know. Like, is it a publicity stunt? I could see the reasons why people think that because, look, all this is going on. And the very first commercial break last night on Sunday Night Football after they're talking about her nonstop is a commercial for her Eras Tour movie that's coming to theaters. So but then again, like, why would they market that to NFL audiences? Unless it's because they have so many more women watching now over the last couple of weeks because of her. I don't know. I don't know. What should I believe, Dr. J? Tell me what to believe.
It's just smart marketing to do that. And she doesn't need the publicity. So why would she do it if not for true love?
Listen to the stats from last night. Number of cutaways to her during the broadcast, 17. Her commercial was shown 2 times. Commercials with Travis Kelce in them shown 3 times. Commercials with Patrick Mahomes 2x. And commercials with Andy Reid 1x.
Yes. I love those Andy Reid commercials. They're my favorite.
Me too. We're going to get to the bottom of this. 517-300-4263. Caller, you're on the air. Who is it?
Hey, John from Holt.
Hi. Oh, the mayor himself, Mayor Freeburg. How you been?
Good. I've been pretty good. Thank you. Well, how have you been?
All right. I mean, football season notwithstanding on either account right, for exactly. me. But that's okay. What you got for us?
My question was, do you see the Spartans getting any more wins? I can't pencil in a for sure win the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm with you. Tim and I were talking about this on the tailgate show. And, like, do we have faith in picking them to win any games? No, but also, no. Like, look how bad the rest of these teams are, specifically, like, Rutgers, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Like, Indiana needed, what, multiple overtimes to beat Akron at home. Nebraska, wow, Nebraska is special. Minnesota is special on offense. I don't know. I don't feel comfortable predicting one, but I also think, you know, a blind squirrel will find a nut, and I think this blind right. squirrel has got a lot of other blind squirrels to compete against, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So what do you pick? How many do you see the rest of the way?
I'd say 0.
Oh, God.
I really do.
Yeah, I mean, it's distinctly possible. If they finish... They finished 2-10 with losses to Minnesota, Nebraska, and Indiana. Damn, dude, that is rock bottom.
That is, yeah, absolutely.
All right, so who's on your short list? Come on, I know you want to talk about short list for the next coach.
Urban Meyer.
Well, if I were in charge and I pulled the purse strings, I of course would do it in a heartbeat. I don't give a damn what the media would think about it because they're gonna kill State anyway. Oh, we dropped you, Mayor Freeburg. I was gonna keep talking to you. Well, good to hear from you anyway. But yeah, Dr. J, MSU Twitter trying to speak Urban Meyer into existence today as MSU's next head coach. Your thoughts on that?
It's worth a shot. Like, why not try to visualize it?
Look, after Saturday night and me feeling the feelings I haven't felt since John L. Smith and same old Spartans era, I never thought it was possible, and I still don't think it's possible for Urban Meyer, because predominantly the main reason is I don't think Michigan State has the institutional synergy or the institutional fortitude in the testicular department to make that kind of move. Because for some reason, the people in charge at MSU still care about what the media says about them, even though it's never good. like State could hire Jesus as the head coach, and he returns, you know, to Earth for the second coming, and he miraculously cures. He pulls a Lazarus. He brings Michigan State football back from the dead, just like he did Lazarus. And it would still be negative media coverage. Like, the Detroit media would be like, sure, Jesus Christ has been good on the field for Michigan State, but is his long hair sending the wrong message to the youth of America? More at 6. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, my overall point is you're never going to get good media attention from the Detroit media if you're Michigan State. Why even try? Why do you care? If that's the only reason you're not trying to get Urban Meyer, that's not a good enough reason. That just isn't. I still don't think it's remotely possible, because the other part of it is, would he want this job? I bet he still does want to coach in college football. And I bet he wants to coach somewhere in college football in the Power Five, somewhere he's familiar. And he definitely is with the Big Ten and the Midwest in general. But he's never been the head coach at a Power Five program that is not the preferred destination in its own state. That's different. And recruiting at Michigan State is different than recruiting at Ohio State or Florida. You're automatically dealing and frankly looking up at 4 of the greatest programs in the history of the entire sport, basically for every recruit: Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Penn State. You're dealing with them constantly. Would he be up for the challenge? I don't know. If like, he's 59, I don't know if he wants to do that. I do think he wants to coach again in college because it's clearly what he was born to do. But it's also a different game he'd be coming back to. Like, no one's mentioning that. That part of it, I think, is important. This is not the college football Urban Meyer left 5 years ago. Like, the transfer portal and NIL have both advented since then. It's different. So I think you can get past that, though, if you are serious about hiring him and you promise him X million dollars in NIL budget per year. That probably would assuage a little concern on his part. But I don't know. I've been told candidly that the donors are engaged and motivated. And I don't mean ones like me or you. I mean, you know, the ones that have their own jets, that they're into it, that they're ready to go and make the move for the next guy. I don't know what they think about Urban Meyer. I don't know what they think about an NIL budget for Michigan State, but that's important too. So I don't know. I feel bad if you're out there on Twitter and the only thing getting you through this is pretending Urban Meyer is going to be the next guy. I don't think that's a terribly sound strategy. I wouldn't get too tied up in that. Again, though, I'll make abundantly clear, if this were all up to me, of course, that's the guy I would want. Because don't you want something that's like guaranteed and he's as close to it as you're going to get, and he's probably a top three college football coach of all time? It's hard to find guys available who are still alive and have multiple crystal footballs. But that's what he is. So if it were up to me, you want to know how much I would think about what the Detroit media headlines would be? I would give it exactly this many seconds of consideration.
0.0.
To hell with them. I don't care. It's the same coverage regardless. And also, Urban Meyer maybe having a moment of embarrassing discretion at his bar a year ago and letting a young woman grind on his crotch, a little bit different than masturbating on a phone call to a rape advocate survivor who didn't want it. Big difference. Massive difference. It is not one-to-one. Him also allegedly covering up for a wide receivers coach that was beating his wife is also different than what happened here. They are not one-to-one. And by the way, you'll notice the only people bringing that up. Have you noticed, Dr. J, there's one particular group of people out there who likes to bring up the fact that, well, Michigan State, after what they've gone through, they can't hire Urban Meyer with his laundry list of issues. I have noticed one common thread among the people who bring that up. And you know what it is? Can you guess?
What's that?
They wear maize and blue underwear.
Oh, really?
It's almost like they're afraid of him becoming the coach here. And this is what it all boils down to. I got to get out. I'm way over. But the point is, there's a manufactured, premeditated effort from that group, and by extension, the media in Detroit, to make sure Michigan State's fan base thinks smaller, so that they can go and hire a MAC coach who's been stuck in Toledo for 8 seasons, or that they go hire Dan Enos, who failed at Central. There is a concerted effort to brainwash you into thinking smaller, because that's what they want. They want your coach to be John L. Smith. They want your coach to continue to be a clown car act. They don't want you bringing in a proven winner. They don't want you bringing in someone like D'Antonio who won't kiss the ring of U of M. Instead, will show them where to sit and spin. They don't want that. That's why they're all on Twitter telling you they can't possibly make that hire. Michigan State can't do this because of all of his issues. Translation, because we're scared. That guy owns us. And we can't beat Michigan State when they're good. Look it up. Look at the record. Look at U of M's record when Michigan State isn't a joke. It's decidedly one-sided. Offensive-minded, I'm Beanie. This is the game, 738.
The Michigan State Spartan football team is back for another season on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker 1240 WJIM and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Never miss another touchdown or tackle again. Stream the game in the free Lansing Sports Network app. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC, MSU Healthcare, Schupan and Sons, Gravity Smokehouse, Doubting Industries, and Chandler's Top Shell. The best in sports talk starts now on the only station the people of Lansing turn to for sports. The Game, 7:30 a.m.
All right, we're back. It's Offensive Minded with me, Beanie, here on the Game, 7:30 a.m. Wrapping it up here with you today, a couple more minutes. So let me get one last call in while I have a minute. Sam and Mason, what's up, man?
My studs are the top-ranked Mason Bulldogs, and my duds are the Michigan State coaching staff, who figuratively should be made to gargle with battery acid, walk on hot coals, and get a CAT scan. You know, why would you go for fourth down on your own 30-yard line when you just grabbed momentum? And going for that fourth down and missing it blew out the momentum and changed the game. And basically, I think that was the turning point, was that play.
Yeah.
From there on, it was downhill. State had a chance to win that game, and they blew it away.
Yeah. And I get that the Eagles QB sneak play is indefensible, but the thing is you have to execute it right, and your quarterback being 5'8", 160 pounds, that's not the correct execution of that play.
No, I mean, it's they ran the wrong play. I mean, how often do you fake it up the middle and
pitch
it over to the tight end? Maryland did that in the state game, and nobody was over there for State.
And look,
wide open.
State comes out. Lined up for that. Iowa has like eight guys lined up on the line, and State just tries to just do it right into the teeth of that defense. How stupid. How completely stupid.
It was really brain dead. I mean, they should all wore dunce caps the rest of the game after that.
Yeah, it's deflating, man. All right, anything else before I let you go?
No, let's just keep it on the negative.
Okay. Thanks, Sam. Good to hear from you. Real quick to the free game 7:30 a.m. app. Tommy in Bath says, if Dan Enos is hired as the head football coach, it's over. I'll spend Saturday golfing. Sincerely, Tommy, the MSU alum, parent of two MSU graduates. I'm with you, man, but I don't think that's serious. First of all, running out of time today. We can get into this more tomorrow, but I would just, all those lists out there, I just want to go on the record and tell you that everyone publishing a list, myself included, I've put one up on the website. It's all BS. But the difference is I admitted it. I said, like, here's the people I think they should look at. Then you got national sources saying, oh, I've been told two names emerging as frontrunners of the Michigan State coaching search are Dan Enos and Lance Leipold. Like, what? That's made up. Also, how come, like, the knee-jerk reaction... Whenever a job is open, these writers just go and find everyone who graduated from that school that's coaching somewhere at any level and just names them. Pat Shurmur, are you freaking kidding me? I'd rather it be Zeke the Wonder Dog. And he can decide whether to run or pass by what color frisbee he catches. I don't know. That'd be better than that. Or Dan Enos, who failed at Central. God. Don't get too worried about it. It's not real yet. They haven't even started, you know? Can't really start until November at least, right? Like, who's gonna leave a job before the regular season's even commenced, right? Or finished, rather. Back tomorrow, more of this. Man, I wanted to spend some time on the Miguel Cabrera crap over the weekend. Guess not. We can do that tomorrow, too. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie here on the Game, 7:30 a.m. Until 4 to 6 tomorrow, be safe and be good.